earth is waiting for the sons of God, the children of God who know who they are in Christ. Let me read something from, you can sit down if you want to. Now, with all this in mind, I would suggest that you would read today somewhere Revelations 2 and 3. Because you will read stuff that you think, wait a minute, this is really awesome. Revelations 3:20, I just read a little bit. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so who has to open the door? Yeah. So is Jesus talking to unbelievers? Knock, 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 you know? No, Jesus is speaking to saints, you and me. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So there's a table. There's a table prepared for you and me with Jesus. We need that revelation. You know, the servant is not in the living room. Yeah? The slave is not in the house. Jesus says the slave cannot be in the house forever. But we are supposed to be in the house. In the house. So Jesus is knocking this week. He's knocking. He's knocking on the door of Germany. He's knocking on the door of the prayer movement. He's knocking on the door of the prophetic movement. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's asking, would you open that door? You know, and so many times we want God to open the door. And God says, no, you open the door. Think about that. Think about it really strong. I will come in with him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the ecclesia. So God wants a ruling ecclesia. Okay? So the fact that we see your throne is empty and you're supposed to sit on that throne doesn't shock me at all. Because God wants to give that revelation. There's nothing sitting on the throne. Maybe somebody here would see a throne. And he would see a dragon on the throne. That's possible. Because everybody has somehow a dragon. And we have to kill. We have to kill the bastard. We have to overcome. We have to overcome the dragon in our own life. So, you know, when you hear those stories of mythology, you know, the dragon, you know. So what is on your throne? Sometimes there can be nasty stuff on your throne. You cannot even see your throne. So God wants to cleanse your mountain. And you take it out. You take out the garbage together with Jesus. And then you see in Revelations 4, and then I saw a door open in heaven. So it's all about doors. There's many doors in heaven. And God wants you to experience those doors. I want to read another scripture, and of course you guys are all familiar because I'm preaching to the choir. Hebrews 12. And I just start from verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I think it's like the same that you read here as in Revelations, isn't it? So who has to run the race? Jesus? He did it already. He's the forerunner. So we follow Jesus. Jesus, follow me. Simple. And so Jesus says some crazy stuff. Honestly. You know, you have to die to live. You have to pick up your cross. You know, it's like you want to conquer the world, you know, and build an army. No. You know, his kingdom is not of this world. It's different. So we don't understand the thing, honestly, about you, Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So whatever we do in heavenly places, that's why I have a very strong emphasis on the face of God. The face of Jesus. If you come into a courtroom and you don't see Jesus, it's central. Call the fire of God over that place because it's a demonic card. Visa, are there demonic cards? Yes, there are. Yeah, if you come with a heart that wants to accuse somebody else, I can tell you, you come into a different place. And it's real. So can you be deceived? Yes, of course you can be deceived, but don't be deceived. That's what Jesus says. Okay, so seek Jesus. That's why I started with, like Abraham, walk into my faces. Seek my face, like David said. If you look at the men of God, they would always seek the face of God. And we were discussing that yesterday night. And for me, it was like a confirmation. Because sometimes, you know, okay, so what am I doing, actually? There's this red line in the way you teach and what you preach. You know, you always have your own subject. It always comes back to, somehow, the face of Jesus. So for me, for instance, to teach about that, to learn for myself, because I need revelation. So I would sit in my prayer room behind my piano, and then I would write a song, Face to Face, for instance. Face to face, God, you and me, God, you and me alone. Yeah, it's you and me alone. I'm sitting here in the prayer room on my own. Face to face, God, but I don't see your face, of course. I feel nothing. I feel empty inside. Yeah, because that's the reality. Yeah, I mean, it's boring, honestly, you know. You guys don't have that, right? It's always glory, you know. You know, I remember I had that for 2 months. For 2 months, I walked. I think my prayer room was not so big. So this is the space I have at home. Yeah, you know, and I was feel nothing, God. I'm so frustrated. What am I doing here? Daddy, daddy, daddy. Nothing is happening. Man, what am I doing here? And I was just grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. Did not have my coffee. A hate was working. I was in my prayer room. And I didn't feel nothing. What I felt was the barrenness in my own heart. Yeah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Honestly, I have a hard time when I have to deal with shame, when I am persecuted, when somebody says bad things about me. I have a very hard time. Maybe you guys are the same. You know, maybe, you know, and you did something in your youth or in the past that you so deeply regret, but you did it, and you're still punished for it. Or, you know, you stepped out in faith, and they didn't understand you, and they rejected you. And that rejection, you guys did not have that, right? You were not. You never had that. Always happy clappy. No, of course not. You know, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross. He didn't love the cross. I think he didn't like the cross. Why would Jesus like the cross, the whipping and stuff, despising the shame? But he despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We meet a lot of people who want to see. Yeah, I want to see Jesus. I want to see the kingdom. It's only black. When I close my eyes, I see nothing. And then, okay, God, so Vitsa, the courtroom will really help me, won't it? No, it will not. Maybe it will help you in your journey, But the journey will be your journey. And there will be pain. I mean, I could have had like a zillion times just in the last few years that I thought, Lord, I'm fed up. I've had it. Why do I do this? Why am I doing this? But and somehow God has sown a seed in my heart to pursue the one who loves me. I can pursue Jesus because he loves me. He loved me in those times where I wanted to die. Jesus endured the cross. Why should I not endure the cross? You have to carry your cross. If you want to live, you want to see, you have to die to self. Self needs to die, guys. If you think you can stay in your selfie, you know, we have this selfie generation right now. And it's all cool, you know. But self needs to die in the kingdom. You want to function in the kingdom, you die to live. You die, selfie dies. See, we live in a very narcissistic generation right now. It's all me, me, me. And, you know, I'm, you know, even with your grandchildren, oh, they're going to be great. You know, they're going to be, oh, no. Yes and no. They're going to be, you know, irritating. You know, they're going to be, oh. It's like, I thought that my two sons, I thought they're going to be, you know, they're going to be on fire for Jesus. Man, Peter was the biggest rebel. He was thrown into jail twice. I didn't even know. He told me, like, Daddy, I have to tell you something. Yes. I did not go to jail once. What do you mean? They kicked me in jail twice. What? And we didn't know. Oh, Daddy, there were so many things you didn't know about me. He was a hooligan. I didn't know he was a hooligan with the hardcore of Feyenoord, Rotterdam, the football club. So he would beat up people. Because you can. Horrible. But now, I mean, now Peter is running the mountains in Ireland. And he's a loving dad. Okay. So for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. For you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. We never like to read this stuff, do we? And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. So this whole sonship. Who can function on a mountain? A child? You know, I mean, if Peter and Aaron, they go with their kids on the mountains. So they climb the mountains, the Mourne. Who knows the Mournes? The Mourne Mountains, they're beautiful, okay? But you, I mean, Bjorn, he's like, you know, he wants, whoa, adventure, you know, but he doesn't see the danger. So he will do stuff. I mean, he can just jump down, you know. I mean, you don't do that. So you have to grow up. It's dangerous. Come on. He speaks to you as to sons. And I wrote here, I am a son of my father. So, sonship is nor male nor female. You have to understand. You know, I had to get used to, okay, you women, I had to get used to that I'm supposed to be the bride, yeah? The first time I said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry, but I don't have boobs. That's what I said. It doesn't sound very holy, does it? But that was my frustration. I said, God, I don't understand. You have to clarify for me. So he did. So sonship is, we are spiritual sons. We are sons. Of course, we're sons and daughters, but it's sons. So if we are a son of the Father, we are a son of the King, right? So when you are a son of the King, so then who are you? What are you? You are an heir, okay? So when you are an heir, then you are a prince. You know, when you come from Nigeria, and I have Nigerian friends, when they speak to their daughters and they speak to their son, they will speak to their son as to a prince. You're a princess. You are a prince. They speak to their identity. You can see there's something in the identity of the Nigerians that's very strong, powerful people. But when you go to Uganda, they don't do that. They don't know their identity. And you see that shame covered over their face. So they need a total different approach in healing. So in Nigerian, there are many preachers from Nigeria who are very powerful because they walk in their identity. They know they are a prince. They know who they are and they can proclaim it. It's very powerful. Okay. So we are a son. Now, my son, he says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scorches every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So when I receive a spanking from my father in heaven, he spanks me because he believes in me. Yeah? He wants me to grow up in sonship. Because a son is a prince and a prince can become a king. Okay? We are supposed to become kings and priests. There's been, for many centuries, there has been the fivefold ministry. We come back to this, but I want to go to Ephesians 4, verse 1 for a minute. Ephesians 4, verse 9. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He, Yeshua, who descended, is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then in verse 13, it says something very interesting. Till. For me, that's a very important word. Okay? Till. We all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. So God wants us to grow up in sonship. Yeah? So there is an until we come to the fullness of Christ. So we need to have a picture like, okay, so yesterday we saw the face of God. We saw the face of Christ. So when you behold, what do you become? You become what you behold. When you look at darkness, you empower darkness. When you look at Jesus, you empower what you look at. So when I keep looking, even when I don't see anything, like last night, I felt I have to sit down. And I just sit down. And I just, Lord, I look at you. And I just bring my mind to rest. And I gaze upon Jesus by faith. And I know I can see the light and I can see his face. God wants us to come to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When I gaze at Jesus, I change. When I look at the love of Jesus, the face of Jesus, I become transformed. I cannot change myself. I need the light, the creative light of Jesus to come. Now John 6 says, when you look, when you see me and believe in me. When you see me and believe in me, you will have eternal life. Now just think about that. Okay, so we come into sonship. Because if we want to function here on Zion, on the mountain of the Lord, on your mountain, on your throne, God wants you to walk in sonship. So you overcome. You're an overcomer. So from a little child that is tossed to and fro through all kinds of stuff, you become steadfast. You become like a son. So you grow up. So I think what God wants to say this week to all of us, including myself, Vitsa, it's time to grow up. Come on. I remember that God said to me one day, a few years ago, have you found out that when God asks you questions that he already knows the answer? God said to me, Vitsa, you are my son. You know, and the first thing is like, I'm not Jesus Christ. How can I be his son? You know, all these theological stuff, you know, garbage that comes. But then I was like, if I say yes, what will be his? You know, I was already bargaining. I was already in trouble, I thought, you know. Vitsa, you are my son. And then I said, yes. And then God said this. Would you take up your responsibility that comes with sonship? Oh, I don't like that word. Do you? Do you like responsibility? Come on, Sam. You love it, right? No. Who loves responsibility? Oh, come on. Yes, there are a few. Yes.
Not all.
No, all. I looked it up in Greek. All means all. Okay, so take up your responsibility. So clean your mountain. The places where God gave you access and authority. Take authority. Don't say, I cannot do that. Who am I? Who am I? You know, pity me. You know, I'm too small. I'm too ugly. I am too this. I'm too that. You know, I can't teach. I cannot preach. I cannot pray. Oh, I'm always tired. You know, oh, I'm lazy. You know, oh, I love TV. Well, then kick out the TV. You know, whatever. You know, take responsibility. Oh, that's a nasty word. You know, take responsibility. Now I'm like, but God is really serious because he waits. So you don't take up your responsibility? God waits. He waits. And then you go another round around the mountain. So many of us, including you guys, have been making circles around the mountain. Oh my goodness. Horrible, isn't it? I'm sneaky, yeah? So how many circles did you make around your mountain? Many. That's why, you know, I don't really like the book Peter. You know, I don't like process at all. You know, when God started to speak about the process in the 90s, I was just married. I thought, you know, this is going to be a quick fix. Yeah, because, you know, in these days, you know, oh, there's a new teaching, the course. Quick fix. No, there's no quick fix. There is no quick fix. God wants the real deal. There is a fire. You will go through the fire. Yeah? And a fire burns. It's hot. Yeah? Something needs to come out. Yeah? When the fire is burning inside of you, many people say, oh, the fire, the fire, the fire. And then they get into a lot of trouble because the fire burns. But they thought the fire is just, woo-hoo, fire, you know? Yeah, but it's not. It's supposed to burn away stuff. And then they get into trouble, and then they don't understand. Many of you have prayed, oh, Lord. You know this prayer. Oh, Lord, do whatever you want to do. Yeah? Make me, break me, mold me, chill me, fill me, thrill me, but please do not kill me. Yeah, you know that one? It's a very good one. Okay. So, chill me, thrill me. Paul Cain said, what's he saying? Chill me, thrill me, but don't kill me. Well, God is out to kill you. God is out there to kill you. You die. You want to function in heaven, you have to die to self. You take up your cross, you die. Daily, okay? It's not once a week, it's not once a month, yeah? So, to function in heavenly places without the cross is impossible. It's not possible. You want me to repeat that? Yeah, okay. To function in heavenly places without the cross you face, without the fire that you face, without taking away the dross, without holiness, is impossible. Okay? So you come with your filthy rags behind the veil. Yeah? Okay. But then you go to the cross and God deals with your unholiness. And when you think, well, God, I don't like that, well, then stay on the earth. But God wants to transform you, break you, mold you, and make you look like Jesus. So we are supposed to come like Jesus. Can you imagine? Woohoo! But if Jesus suffered, then you will suffer. Sorry. Can I say that again? If Jesus suffered, you will suffer. Suffering for the glory. Look it up in the Bible. Study about glory. Many people, that's why I had a lot of trouble through the years singing songs about glory. Because the glory became very cheap. I want your glory. I want to see your glory. But if you want to see the glory of God without dying, then I don't know what you see. So what did we see we thought was glory? I don't know. Can I just say that? Can I throw that out? So if we ask for the glory of God, then just go back in time and read again what Moses did. And what happened to him. When we pray for the glory, you need to die to self. We need the fear of God. Okay? So if we want to be on the mountain of God without the fear of God, I can tell you, you get yourself into trouble. So Father, right now, Lord, maybe you can close your eyes. Father, I ask you that you would give a new understanding of the fear of God. Lord, when you invite us to be holy, be holy for I am holy. It's in the same chapter of Hebrews 12. Lord, we want to say, yes, God, we want this, but we don't know how, honestly. Honestly. We have come so far, but Lord, to step into the kingdom of God and live from the kingdom of God, we need to die to self. We need your help, Holy Spirit. We need the fear of God. So, Father, as we are here in your presence, as we are here in the classroom of heaven, I ask that the seven spirits of God would minister to us. And especially right now, the fear of the Lord. And I feel right now an angel just putting a hand on my head. So I want this impartation, Lord, of the fear of God. And maybe just open your hands for this impartation. The fear of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that the angels and the seven spirits of God would minister right now. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Lord, we want to become sons. We want to walk in sonship. And Lord, we want to learn how to function in heavenly places, God. We want to be where Zechariah 3, it says, You will walk in places with those who stand here. Father, we want to be in the places, in heavenly places, where the angels walk, where the angels talk, where the angels sing. We want to know the reverence of the angels for you, Jesus. We want to know the holiness, the level of holiness that is in heaven, the level of purity. Father, we need to know the fear of God as never before. I'm so sorry, God, we lack so much knowledge of the fear of God. And we made a nice small package, and we put the fear of the Lord into a box so we could handle it. Change our mindsets, God, about the fear of God. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, one of the presents that you want to unpack, I see a present, it's the fear of God. So we unpack it right now. It's like he's being unpacked, unraveled. And as I say, I feel again the hand of God on me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I need it, Lord. The wisdom, like Proverbs says, wisdom, you are my sister. Wisdom, you are my sister. Teach me. Understanding, teach me. Spirit of counsel, would you teach us? Spirit of night, of might, would you teach us about the power? Establish in us, God. Father, we want the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge, the knowledge of God, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of the Lord in the center. And Father, where there is this sealing in our life, Lord, I ask, Lord, that by your shock therapy, I don't know how you do it, you bring us in the next level. It's like God is just throwing you out there, and sometimes through a rough time. See, God uses suffering, wherever it comes from. But he uses that to bring you in a different realm of glory. You know, Peter says, when you suffer for the glory, you have ceased to sin. When you suffer for the glory, there is a suffering for the glory for the Church of Christ in Europe. I can tell you, and it's coming. It's not cheap. It is not cheap. You know, even in the darkest times of Germany, there was a glorious church. There was a glorious church in Germany. Honestly, they suffered. They suffered death. Yeah. And Lord, we just want to remember that, Lord, before you, Lord. And so I'm very aware of the cloud of witness that is here right now. Those who suffered death for the glory. And I really feel that we stand in agreement with him. Just want to wait. Father, I just want to acknowledge and honor those who suffered death through persecution, violence, the gas chamber, who were put on trial and put to shame and were hanged, who were shot in Germany. Those martyrs who are crying out, how long, Lord? Father, we want to bring them into remembrance right now. And we want to honor them as we honor you, Jesus. What I see is that there are scrolls being brought into heaven about those men and women who suffered. And it's not only about their suffering, but it's also their petitions for Germany. And so, Father, we want to stand right now. I don't know why this is happening, but I want to stand in alignment, Lord, with those petitions in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I stand in agreement also with the promise that my grandfather made you. Lord, if I survive this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Father God, he did not survive the war, and he died. So there's still a promise that you want to fulfill. And because I carry his name, I stand here today. Because of the promise he made to you and the promise, the covenant he made with you, Father. Father, I want for Germany what those who suffered and died for want for Germany. Father, one thing that I want to see is, Lord, that sons would rise up in Germany. A mature bride. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Speaking truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. That you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hebrews 12, verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, in the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us how to function in those places. So this morning, who saw the mountain that he is supposed to walk upon and live upon? That's a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you can revisit that place every day. Yeah? But you have come. You have come. It doesn't say you will come one day. When you die, you will come to Mount Zion. No. The Bible says you have come. It's already done. Yeah? It's now. Okay? The kingdom of God is now. Not tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. Yes, but we go for the now. Okay? Psalm 24. So with an eye on Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Into the hill of the Lord. And if you read about Moses, you know, he's on the mountain. He's on Mount Sinai, you know. And then he goes up the mountain. Wait a minute. How can you be on top of the mountain and step on a mountain? Study. It's you can read it. It's there. So Moses is on a mountain with the 70. Yeah. So Moses is on a mountain. Did you know that the Mount Sinai in Egypt is not the Mount Sinai? Who knows? In my Bible, it says a question mark. Mount Sinai in Mount Sinai, question mark. You know where the real one is? Who knows? Anybody? You can look it up. You should look it up. Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's in Saudi Arabia. The what? In Saudi Arabia. Place of all places. Yes. It's in Saudi Arabia. And in Saudi Arabia, they call it the Mount of Moses. So they all know. And there's a fence around it. And since the 80s, people have excavated the mountain. And it's the only mountain. So you cross the Red Sea. And then, you know, when you really follow what's in Exodus, yeah, you follow it as a map. You will not come in Sinai. You will cross the Red Sea. Yeah, there is a, like a it's like a riff, and you can, when it's low tide, you can even, they found wheels of chariots. Nah, how's that possible? So they found the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Yeah, interesting, huh? So you cross, and then, you know, you go into the desert, and you will find these palm trees with the water that is like a kind of bitter, Mara, and stuff. All the stuff that's written in the Exodus, it's all there, but it's in Saudi Arabia. And so when you follow, then you come to this mountain, and now they took away, but there's this... there is this stone in front, and there are these drawings of calves on it. And they would sacrifice on it. I mean, it's all there. And then you have all these white stones, like markings around the mountain, because, you know, it's literally in the Bible. You should not cross because the mountain was on fire. You know, no, Moses, you go on the mountain. We stay here, you know. You have fun with the Lord, okay? So, it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Today, many of you will watch YouTube, I can tell you. Yeah. It's the only mountain where it's also the Mount Horeb, yeah? It, which is blackened because it's burned from the outside. Yeah, so Moses was here, and there's also this place where Elijah was. And when you look, when you step in that place, and you look, you can see there is in front, there is this huge stone that is split in two. And you can see that there was water gushing out with such a force that the stone was like formed. It's like this big. Because you had to feed like 2 million people and sheep and stuff. And so they made also like a map, and you could see that the water that came out of the rock filled up, made it like a lake. When you walk around this mountain, you have these, not the chicken, what's the quail. The quail that come over the Red Sea, and they're so tired, they just literally drop from the sky at this place. So all that stuff. And then you see marking on the stone, like something like this. Little feet. Wherever you put your feet, I will give you this land. And then this is the little child's feet, and this is the papa's feet, you know. It's literally there. And you find all this stuff. This is like an omer. So all these little buckets where they would have one omer with manna. And they're all the same size, and it's all over the place. It's all over the place. So this is a very interesting place. But what I was trying to tell, this is a bonus, okay. So the mountain of fire. Yes, so Moses was with the 70 plus, yeah, with Moses, was on the mountain. They were eating, and they saw the face of God, and they did not die, yeah? And then God says, okay, now I want you to come up the mountain. So there's another mountain. Okay, so when Jesus, it says of Jesus, you know, he went into the mountain. I believe he did not only do this, he went into the mountain, into the kingdom of God. The mountain of the Lord is the government. So God wants to teach us to govern. I wrote a song about this, Psalm 24, where it says, you know, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. So there is a generation, let me put it this way. There is a generation right now who are not satisfied, not with selfies, not with iPhones, not with iPads, not with Netflix, not with the newest movie, not with pornography, not with drugs, not with whatever. They are not satisfied. Maybe they've done it all because they're called Jacob. Jacob messed up severely. He was a liar, Jacob. Yeah. But God changed his name in Israel. But he would seek his face. There's going to be a generation, it's like by seeking his face, by fighting with God, they are a little bit crippled. Maybe you recognize yourself in it. Maybe you don't walk that powerful anymore. Just like this a little bit. Anyway, in the morning, I feel like 80. But that's my thing. But it's like, but this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek your face. And then you have a Selah. And then it says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. That's another thing. So again, we have doors and we have gates. And lift up you heads. So you are a gate. So when as a son, you start to function here. So here's the throne. So the government of God. So there are many mountains. There are mountains in mountains in mountains in mountains in mountains. There are heavens in heaven. Yeah? So you have the kingdom of the earth, then you have the kingdom of God, then you have the kingdom of heaven, then you have heaven, then you have the heavens of heavens, then you have eternity, and then you have perfection. Hebrews 7 goes, let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to perfection. There is realms, so many of us, we go skin deep. Yeah? But the kingdom of God is in you. That is a very nice thought. Again, but God wants us to take the fullness of it. You know, it's like, you know, God put like $1 zillion on your bank account. And you know it's there, but you never touch it. And you never trade with it. So the gold that God put in you, he desires. He desires. There is a zeal in the eyes of God to draw that out. And that's why he will shake you. He will break you. He will do anything in his power to bring you to that place of sonship. Because it's so powerful. He wants it. The world is dying and he needs it. So I want to go back to Zechariah 3 for a second. I'm just cruising around a little bit, okay? This is the way I teach. I'm so sorry if you... Should we have a cup of coffee in a few minutes? Yes, I need a cup. I need some good coffee. Because in the morning, I am grumpy. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, verse 6. So again, Zechariah 3, verse 6. If you will walk in my ways. So what's the first word? If. What's it in German? Then. Okay, what does that mean? You have a choice, right? Yeah? Okay. If you walk in my ways. Can you say my ways? God's ways. Not my ways. His ways. Yeah. One of the psalms says, the way of the Lord is in the sanctuary. Oh, man. So our way, where should my way be? In the sanctuary. Come on. So if you walk in my ways. You know, that's why Jesus says, follow me, follow me. So you follow Jesus. You follow his ways. When God says, my ways, Isaiah 55, are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Okay, then I want to go higher. If you will keep my command. Did Jesus give commandments? Yes. And study it. There's many, many, many commandments that Jesus gave. Then you shall also judge my house. You shall what? Judge. Who's ready to judge? You know, the Bible says we should not judge, right? Yeah, but the Bible says the judge in Bible means to condemn. So that is the Greek word kreno. But we are supposed to diokreno. And what was diokreno? Diokreno is godly discernment. So judgment has to do with to govern. To govern. Okay, so who governs? Kings govern. A judge. Stop it, Lisa. We are called to govern. We're supposed to see it here. Yeah, so for now it's like, oh my goodness, am I called to govern in heavenly places? Yes. Yes. If you walk in my ways, keep my commands, you shall. Can you say that?
You shall.
Okay. So then, I will.
I will judge.
I will be part of the covenant of heaven. Okay. But it says here, you will judge my house. You will judge my house. He says, my house. Does he say the world, the heathen, the gays, the whatevers? No. You will judge in my house. So where is my house? Is that the local church? No. It's the heaven. The house of the Father. So here's the deal for the coming few years. God wants you to figure out as a son, yeah? Part one, become a son, yeah? So it's a choice. You say, yes, Lord, I will walk in your ways. I will keep your commands. I give you a new commandment that you love. So you will love God and will love people. If you don't love, you cannot do this. No love, you cannot govern. Interesting, huh? Because it's not about power. This is not about power. Power corrupts. It blinds. What I see is a lot of people who are in signs and wonders lack in character. I see a lot of people who prophesy lack in character. God does not want you to lack character. He wants you to be like Jesus, humble. So how is this? Now I drew this, okay? Now I want you to see something. And I tell this everywhere I go, and it's shocking. I find it kind of shocking, okay? So, okay. Moses, he was on the mountain, and he got a blueprint about the tabernacle, right? Okay, so it's like the shadow, okay? So, you know, the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come, okay? So what's the real deal? What is the real? Okay, you see two shadows of my hand, right? Now it's kind of vague, see the, but you can already see it's a hand, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay, here you go. So, we have to do things as we see in heaven, as it is in heaven. So this is heaven, yeah? And the light of God shines on it. Boom. And we can see the shadow. Okay, so the shadow is what we produce, right? Okay. So the highest function in heaven, what is it? King? King? Priest? So those two functions, okay? Yeah? You agree with me? Okay, so foundational stuff on the earth. What's the highest? What we would say, like, yeah, this is like foundation. So what's on the earth? Somebody. Yeah, in the kingdom, yeah. In the kingdom. So if on earth. So this is in heaven. This is in heaven. Yeah. And then on the earth. In the earth realm. Somebody else? More? Ambassador. Yeah, okay, nice. What is foundational ministry in the Bible? It's two ministries, apostle and prophet. Okay, so here we go. Apostle and prophet, yeah. Okay, yes. Okay, so the light comes from here, yes. And then, okay, it has to look like how it is in heaven, right? Top down. Yeah, got it. Apostle and the prophet. So what's wrong with this picture? Looks exactly the same as in heaven, right? But everything that is in heaven or on earth is upside down. So this is wrong. This is wrong. This is the apostle and the prophet. So what did we create? We created a pyramid, a mountain, and actually we're not living like apostles and prophets because an apostle is a burden bearer. It's the ox. Yeah? So we forget about it. No. We are a king. But a king who lacks character, who is not humble. Jesus said, now I give you a new example. I'm washing you the feet. So what Jesus said, no. You will be everybody's servant. So if you're an apostle of the Lamb, like the 12 apostles, okay, one of them couldn't handle it and committed suicide. But, you know, you're supposed to have this. You're the lowest of the lowest. Yeah? Apostle Paul says, you know, nobody talk about me and because I have the marks of Christ in my back, okay? So there are a lot of, do you understand? There's a lot of guys that call themselves apostles. They live like kings, yeah? And they have a top of the mountain, and they call it an apostle network. Now, I have nothing against apostolic networks. Hear me right, okay? Agree with me? What did I say? I have nothing against apostolic networks. I have nothing against apostolic networks when they are like that. But when it's like this, then, you know, you give to me, you know, you trade with me, and, oh, my goodness, my power increases. And my power increases. And it's, oh, my goodness, it's getting bigger and bigger. And we, you know, it's really growing. And it looks like there's even some miracles and stuff. But this is not the kingdom of God. Sorry. This is the kingdom of God. We should love. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So I want to see this happen. That the apostolic, this is the faith, one of the faces of God. What did I say here? The prophetic. It's the eagle. The priest is the man. The king So somehow God wants to bring this together. As it is in heaven, so it will be on the earth. I really believe that Jesus cries a lot about this. It's a lot of tears shed in heaven. So I really believe that God wants to birth apostolic. But somehow, because we did not go through the process of dying to self, but we just took the kingship, God is looking for sons. Those who carry the image of Christ. That is a son. It's not something, I'm a supernatural, you know, I can jump to the moon if I want to, you know. No, it's a son is somebody who has become like Jesus, who follows Jesus in, even into death. Suffering, glory. To really know Jesus. That's why it's so important that we seek the face of God. Seek my face. And David did it. And David was called a friend of God. We can be friends of God, guys. But we pay. It's costly. You will have charge of my cords. 3 minutes, then I stop. You will have jurisdiction. You guys get this one? I think this is important, isn't it? Okay. I mean, did anybody ever, I mean, this is like, did anybody ever tell this in this way? Because God wants to overshadow what is in heaven. This is a shadow of things in heaven. Yeah? So the higher you come on the mountain in heaven, the lower you go. And study Paul. Study Peter. Study Paul. The biggest, the deepest letters. Come on, I want to read it for you. Feel the passion of Apostle Paul. Feel the passion. This is Philippians, I feel, thank you, Paul. Philippians 3, for 16, 17. Philippians 3, 16. Maybe it makes sense a little bit what he says here now. Oh, my goodness. I start in... verse 8. Oh my goodness. This is, okay. Listen with your heart, okay? Open your heart to the word of God, okay? Verse 8. Yet, indeed I, Paul. No, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, you meditate on that one. That's just one. Philippians 3:8. Yeah, I wait. I have time. Yeah, no worries. But what things were gained to me, these have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Do you understand what he's writing here? He's in jail right now, okay, in Rome. That I may know him, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, what we talked about yesterday, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Ooh. and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What is Paul talking about? I wish that the body of Christ in Germany and in the Netherlands and in Europe would have understanding and revelation about this. Because honestly, we don't have a clue what we're talking about. You agree with me? Let me read it again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What did Paul see? Who's the Jesus that he's talking about? Is it the same Jesus that you serve? Is it the same Lord? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus also laid hold for me. It's a mystery, guys. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, you hear that? Mature, yeah? Have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. So who's Paul following? He's walking in his ways. And it costs him everything to gain the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Listen to this. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul did not say, do as I say, because that was the Roman church in those days. That was Augustine. You do as I say. But like the Celts and also Paul said, do what I do. Follow me when I follow Christ. You see the difference? It's very subtle. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the what? They are enemies of the cross of Christ. So you have people in the body of Christ who build their own kingdoms, and they've become enemies of the cross of Christ. Can you imagine that? Well, it's happening. It's even happening today. I never want to be in that place. And then it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And then the last one, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Amen.